Amen. Father, we give you this meeting tonight. Pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to the saints and to all the churches.
Amen.
Pray that you will really show us your way.
Yes.
And lead us through every path to reach the goal.
Right.
How much we need your mercy.
Amen.
We are relying upon you and not on anything else.
Amen.
To bring us to the goal.
Yes.
Christ, the author and the finisher.
Amen.
The Alpha and the Omega.
Amen.
The beginning and the end.
Amen.
Amen. We fully put our trust in you.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, there's so much to really see, right? In the morning meetings, all the wonderful signs. Sometimes I thought we need many more meetings. Right? The brothers had so much to share, but so little time, sometimes they don't know where to begin and where to end. Because there's so many details that we really should see, but maybe it is not that necessary to see every detail. Right? But we should know the main way, the highway to the goal, and not to be distracted by too much details. But it doesn't mean that we don't have to know anything. No, we need to know. It is written, as our brother said this morning, so that we may know. Right? If the Lord doesn't want us to know, then it will not be written. It will not be recorded. Especially today, at the very end of this age, where everything is coming to an end, then it is necessary for us to know. We may not be able to say every details, but we do have that chart in the back describing the seven kings in Revelation chapter 17. And I believe that if you all take time when you go home to read through it, the verses, it should be clear to everybody. Actually, it is not that difficult to understand, right? So, do your homework. We're going to give you the homework. You have all the chart. Be diligent to know the truth and to get yourself ready for the Lord's coming again. Amen. I hope that the Lord will convince every one of us that these signs are being shown and fulfilled today. Especially the end of the age of democracy. There has never been a time like this. Yes, in the previous years we have seen the signs, but yet it is not as close as today. And we should already talk about the Lord's coming. Even 2,000 years ago, the disciples were waiting for the Lord's return. Like I said, hey, you may say, well, 2,000 years later, he still didn't come. But our brother said he saw the vision. Whether the Lord comes or not, you have to be ready because you don't have that much time to get ready. So if you're not ready, you'll be just like the foolish virgins when they went to sleep, when they slept. They slept in a condition which was not yet ready for them to meet the Lord. So when they woke up and the bridegroom comes, they were just unprepared as when they went to sleep, when they passed away. So it really doesn't matter if the Lord would come 1900 years later or during their time, you have to be prepared. You have to live a life as if the Lord could come anytime, because you could go anytime. Right? Be wise. Be wise. Be like the wise virgin. Be like the wise servants. Right. Learn and be prepared. So, amen. And especially today, more than ever before. Sure, during the Y2K, everybody was expecting something. Right, because the time has drawn near, but not yet so near as today. But there has not been a time where there is an administration like this upcoming administration who set their heart to accomplish the peace treaty. Right, the president-elect just tweeted last night what Obama did made it harder to make the peace treaty. But, he says, nevertheless, we will make it. Wow, how wonderful. Doesn't matter. Let me assure you. If this is indeed the appointed time of God, no matter who would do what, doesn't really matter. God will have a way to do it. It is not a certain person who would do it. Or it does not depend on the situation and some bad guys is trying to make it impossible. Well, try your best. Please, go ahead. Right? Go ahead and do it. Because no matter what you do, God will have his way.
Amen.
Don't you believe that, Jasmine? Yeah? You believe that our God is so almighty? He knew the thoughts from man, not just far away, but even before the foundation of the world, he already knew what certain people are thinking today. What a wonderful God. So it really doesn't depend on some bad guys who's trying to do something to prevent it. It doesn't matter. I would say, try your best. Do whatever you can. You cannot prevent God from fulfilling his purpose. But that's on the negative side. What God is more concerned about is whether we are prepared. Because he is waiting for you to be prepared. So if we are not willing, we are not ready, oh Lord, right? But again, be assured that some will be willing to be ready. Because it does not depend on the majority that will be ready for the king to come. Revelation chapter 14 tells us just need a number of first fruits and that's good enough. How many Christians are there in this world today? Hundreds of millions. More than that. There are 6 billion people on this earth. There should be more than 100 million. Okay, let's be conservative. Let's say 100 million real believers born again. Okay, we don't count the the other believers that are, I don't know what kind. There are many kinds, right? But let's say 100 million. The Lord says there are only 114,000 first fruits. 144,000, I'm sorry. I'm trying to make it less, my goodness. But let's say, 144,000. Among 100 million, okay, if you says 100 million, how many percent is that? Oh, goodness. Very few. And we are not even sure that 144,000 is a real digital number. It may be a spiritual number. So, there will definitely be a minority of seeking Christians who are willing to do it. Don't you want to be a part of it? Well, you make your choice. It's your choice. The Lord will never force anybody. That's why at the very end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, it is whosoever will. Whosoever. Will you? You want to? Do you want to do it? Do you want to be part of it? Yeah. Whosoever will, let him come. So, no need to fight, no need to argue, no need to force anyone. Our Lord never would force anybody, really, really. Right. That's why, the Lord let Vatican still operate until today. He didn't shut it down. He didn't have such a narrow heart like mine. If I were the one and have the power, I would shut it down. Cause an earthquake somewhere there and let the whole thing crumble, eh? Wouldn't you do it too? Yeah, I think so. No, two of us will do it together. Right? Shut it down. But the Lord didn't do it. You may not have ever thought about it. And I said, Lord, why don't you shut it down? Well, whether you shut it down, you don't shut it down, people's heart remain the same. They remain the same. They still won't follow the Lamb. So many denominations, so many groups, and different groups of Christians, each one going their way, the Lord didn't do anything to stop them. Why? Because that's what they want to do, okay? Okay, the Lord shut down one group, they will form another group tomorrow. What are you going to do? You shut down, they open another one. You shut down this one, they open 10 more. So, the Lord is wise. Let them open. Let them operate. Do whatever they like to do. Because if you shut it down, they're not going to change anyway, right? They're still going to do it. You stop one group of terrorism, tomorrow there will be two groups coming up. So, right? You agree with me, Timo? That's why the Lord says, let them be, then when the last 3.5 years come, then the Lord will use the beast and the 10 toes to shut them down. Then at that time, they won't be opening another one. That will be the time to shut down all of these Babylonian things. Today, you cannot shut them down. Really, that is the answer I got when I complained to the Lord. Shut them down, Lord. The Lord says, why? You think you shut them down and that solves the problem? You're gravely mistaken. Because man's heart will not change. Man's heart will not change. But what about our heart? What do we want to be? What do we want to do? How are we going to prepare ourselves to reach the goal? Are we going to just stay and get stuck where we are right now and unhappy? Is okay, we don't have to go on. We don't have to go on. Then what do you want to do? Repeat what you have learned. You didn't stop when you were in elementary school, when you graduated, although you had a very nice hat, right? Right? Oh, color red or something. I don't know what color it was. You even forgot the color, right? Very good. You forget the past. Like what Isaiah 43 says, forget what is the former things. Why don't you forget? Behold, I'm doing a new thing. But if you cannot forget the former things, then the Lord cannot do the new things with you. We're doing the same thing week after week, year after year. And we still want to do it, although it's taking us nowhere. Just like the people of Israel going around the wilderness every year. They're going around and ended up in the same place and going around in circles. You know, when I was a little boy, I liked to go to the carousel, you know, riding on the horse there. Oh, it seems like I'm going somewhere, but I'm not going anywhere. But I feel like I'm going somewhere, you know. And at the end, when it stops, I got down, I'm still there. It's a pianhaizla. You're deceiving the children. So don't be like that. Let us really go on until we reach the goal. And this is what Paul says. Forget the things that are behind. Let us press toward the mark to reach the goal for the prize of the high calling. Yeah. The upward calling. Some people don't like the word upward. I said, okay, it doesn't matter, upward or downward, but it's better than downward, right? Well, it's better than going in circles. But I want to go upward. How about you? It's not the song of plain road. What is it called, the song of?
Ascent.
No, I don't like the word ascent. It's too hard to go up. I just want to go in the plain road. It's much better. Right? Don't you like that? So they have the songs of the plain road. Plateau. Oh, I hope it's plateau and not a valley. The songs of the valley. But the psalmist told us, no. It's called the song of
ascents.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let us go up. I really enjoy ascending. How about you, don't you? Right. So may the Lord really show us. You remember again that chart that we have concerning Philadelphia? Everything is going parallel. But Philadelphia, that line is going where? Upwards. Remember that. May the Lord really open our eyes. Because the work is not finished yet. What the Lord wants to do with us is not finished yet. We have not yet reached the upward goal, the upward calling. Some people say it doesn't mean upward, it means high. Okay, high is where? High is up, right? High is definitely not going on a plateau. The high calling is must be up there. So, but you're not going up, you're going straight somewhere or even going down the valley. So whatever you explain, it doesn't really matter. That shows that their mind is warped. Warped. You know what warp is? Going downward. Anyway. We're talking about the kingdom in these days. Let me just read to you Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. Amen. Well, maybe we should read it together to give a deep impression. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the Lord said, and even until now, not just until now when the Lord was speaking, but even until now, the kingdom of heaven is so easy to get in. Oh, you just serve into the kingdom. Or glide into the kingdom. No? What did he say?
Suffered violence.
Oh, suffered violence. What does that, what do you mean, suffered violence? What kind of violence? Why? Because the enemy is trying to prevent anyone from going in. You know, the Lord told the Pharisees, you don't want to go in, and you prevent others to go in. Right? At that time, you don't live during those days. If you were a Jew during those days and you want to follow Jesus, you'll have a big problem. There are terrorists that will prevent you from going in. They'll kick you out and do something to you. They will prevent you from going in. Yeah. They are even giving the king himself a hard time. Even at the end, they want to kill him. Plotting against him. Right? And he's the king. And his coming is the coming of the kingdom. So, even John the Baptist, who was the forerunner, proclaiming the coming of the Lord, oh my goodness, you know, he had a hard time, right? And who can take it? And the peaceful people take it by faith. Well, isn't that a burial verse? Huh? The loving people, yeah, receive it as a gift. The lovey-dovey people, who always talks about love, they will love themselves into the kingdom. Yeah. No, what does it say? The violent people take it by force. But didn't the Lord Jesus says, fear not, little flock, it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Which verse do you prefer? Both is right. Both is right. On one hand, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But that doesn't mean that it just dropped to your on your what? On your lap. There's another side to the story. The kingdom suffered violence. So no wonder in the book of Acts, what did Paul say? We must read a lot of books to enter into the kingdom. We must preach a lot of gospel. And we must love a lot of people in order to enter into the kingdom. No? What verse did he say? What did Paul say? No, not much. A little bit, maybe. Much? You want to enter into the kingdom, George? How? You like tribulation? So you don't like to enter into the kingdom. No choice. There's a lot of tribulation. All kinds of tribulation. Your flesh is a tribulation. Yourself is a tribulation. Even sometimes your family is a tribulation. The world there is trying to discourage you, laughing at you, right? Intimidating you. How about that? So many difficulties from all sides. The power of darkness, right? So many temptations all over, everywhere. Right? And don't think they are very polite to you, okay? Please, Sarah, don't enter into the kingdom. Right? Please. Forget about it, please. You think they're so nice to you? No, they'll do everything they could do to prevent you. They have all kinds of ways to prevent you. So here, you have to realize that we are in a spiritual battle today. We are in a spiritual battle today. Some people say they want to fight for a church. They end up fighting against the real church. Actually, they are fighting for themselves and not for the truth. Right. I hate to say this, but this is the real situation today. You need to realize this. That's why Paul said we must go through much tribulation to enter into the kingdom. In the Lord himself, how did he reach the throne? He learned obedience. He went through all sufferings, enduring the cross. Then he entered in. And the book of Hebrews is telling us to do the same thing. Well, you think you can just inherit the kingdom by doing nothing? enjoying the world, enjoying a good life, enjoying this, avoiding any problem, no pressure, no trials, no sufferings. You don't even have to prepare to come to the meeting. That's already a great suffering. To give an offering to the Lord. Oh, no, why do we have to do that? Why not? It's already too difficult? Too hard? As big sufferings? To prepare a little dove as a burnt offering. Is it so hard? Great tribulation. Great tribulation. You're just, like the Lord says, you lazy and wicked servant. You find all kinds of excuses to oppose it. Don't do that. I would advise everyone, if you don't like to do it, that's fine. Nobody's forcing you. Don't oppose it. Okay? Let me ask you one question. Is the word offering, to offer, is it scriptural or not? Really? Are you sure? Who is sure that it's a scriptural word? Please, raise your hand. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. I don't even expect everybody to raise their hand, right? If it is, then give everyone the liberty to do it. As the Lord gives everyone the liberty not to do it. Let me read to you a verse. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me read it to you. You also, in verse 5, we, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to share spiritual sacrifices to the Father. To testify a spiritual sacrifice to the Father. Why not? To impart, to give. Which word do you prefer to use? You want to share something with God? You want to testify, to give a testimony to God about Christ? But he knows more about Christ than you. Father, I want to testify to you about your son. He is not bad. The scripture says to offer up. Okay? Now, if you say, I want to share a testimony with God or to God, okay, that's fine. I'm not against it, okay? Because it's your choice. But if I say I want to offer up a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God, why do you have to use the word offer? Oh, goodness. I don't oppose you using the word, I want to share a testimony. I want to share something to God. Okay, that's fine. But why are you offended when I say I want to offer up? We have never used that word before. How come you're using it now? Because I discovered it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Because it's written here. If you don't like it, that's your problem, okay? I like it. Peter likes it. And most of all, God likes it. So if you don't like it, that's your problem, okay? Since when, in the many years in the church, last that we fight about the word offer and try to stop people from using the word offering to the Father? What happened to us? Forgive me for getting mad about it. I'm not mad at people. I'm mad about the situation. Why? What happened to us? Goodness. Just because of that word to offer, we made such a big fuss. Something is really wrong. Very wrong. And then they blame all this problem to people who use the word offering. Can you imagine that? I need to expose it to everybody. I can't believe it. It's already how many years now? They're still opposing it. Amen. Right. This is what God wants. And this offering of spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God. It is acceptable to God. The offerings, the sacrifices, is a big thing in the whole scriptures. You have to realize this. Right? Because if you don't, you will still not understand why it is so important and why the priesthood and the offering of the spiritual sacrifices will perfect you and qualify you to be co-kings and to really conform you to the image of Christ. Amen. So may the Lord help us. Wake us up. Right. Wake us up. Now let's come to the outline. Sorry. Because we are for the preparation of going into the kingdom. And for going into the kingdom, you really need to see, we need to go through a spiritual warfare to enter in. And people today have lost the vision. As if, hey, well, there's no problem. You can just walk into the kingdom. And eventually you become the problem to stop other people from entering into the kingdom. Okay, let's come to point B. Right. Living, pursuing, knowing, gaining Christ and magnifying Him. You know, in the New Testament, Christ, in the book of Hebrews, is the reality of all the offerings. Christ is the reality of all the offerings. Sorry. Paul says, for him to live is Christ. But he did not tell you in details what kind of a Christ is he living out. It's very easy to say for me to live as Christ. Now explain to me what kind of Christ are you gaining? What kind of Christ, what aspect of Christ are you really experiencing? Right? So, all of these offerings reveal to us the most important aspects of Christ that God wants you to experience. That's why he requires you to give the offerings and to bring those offerings to him, because he knows that only if you experience Christ specifically in these categories of offerings, you will be perfected. Then you can be like Christ. If you just experience Christ, oh Lord, I need your help. Okay, I need your help for what? Oh, to take care of my children. Oh Lord, I run out of patience. Lord, help me. Okay, the Lord help you. Okay, or Lord, I'm sick. Heal me. Or Lord, I'm tired. Remove my tiredness. Or what kind of Christ do you experience every day? You tell me. You say you experience Christ. Okay, what? You cannot even tell me what. Because you're not very specific. Right? This is why for Paul to really say living, pursuing, knowing, gaining, magnifying Christ. Right? Paul, of course, mentioned a few. He says, I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. What is the power of that resurrection if it's not a wave offering? Right? I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings if it is not really manifested in the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his living, he went through so much suffering in order to be perfected. You like to suffer? You don't like to suffer. That's why you're so easily offended. Just a little correction, you're already offended. So, you like to know the fellowship of his suffering? How often do you experience the fellowship of his suffering? In the humanity of the Lord Jesus. Nobody can even touch you, say something, or do something that you don't like. You're already offended and beginning to criticize. Or you're so easily angry just because what happens. Smaller than a mosquito, you're already angry. You make something out of nothing. Right. You cannot suffer. No. Nobody wants to suffer. Right. But Paul, he wants to know the sufferings of Christ, the fellowship of his suffering, especially for the body of Christ, especially for the church. Especially for the church. He says he rejoices in the sufferings, that which is lacking in the affliction of Christ for the body's sake. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, do you rejoice in the suffering? And then he wants to be conformed to his death, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean, conformed to his death? Tell me, when did the Lord Jesus die? Every day. In every situation. The day he was baptized, buried, he died. That means he no longer lived himself. Paul says, we die once a year. What did he say? We die daily. You like to die daily? How many times did you die today? You were there. Ah, you're asking a strange question. We don't like to die. We don't like to suffer. Right? So, hey, there's so many things to learn. Right? Do you like to overcome sin and death? Or would you like to still be a slave of sin? Right? Christ as the sin offering. If you don't know Christ as the sin offering, you just know his precious blood for forgiveness. Oh, Lord, forgive me. And after forgiveness, you run away and do the same thing again. Yeah. You don't hate sin. You're not strengthened to overcome sin. Yeah. You cannot say sin and death have no more dominion over me. Right? Are you crucifying the world and the world to you, like in Galatians chapter 6, what Paul said? Or is the world still bothering you? Right? Hey, we need to experience Christ in such a way. Otherwise, we're still under the weather, under the dominion of the power of darkness. Right. So, how can you fight against the principalities and powers if you're not experiencing such a wonderful sin offering, being freed from the dominion of sin and death? You know, especially as a priest, you are not supposed to touch anything that is dead. That means you have to overcome spiritual death, right? This time, the Jews in Jerusalem have started a priestly school and are calling many of the line of Aaron, the tribe of Aaron, to come and join the school. You know, one of the important prerequisites is what? You cannot touch death. You cannot even visit a cemetery or a hospital, because so many people died in the hospital. So if you have visited a cemetery, or you were born in the hospital, or you visited the hospital, you're out. Goodness. I don't know if it's scriptural or not, but it just shows that they are very serious concerning touching death. We don't even have the concept of death. I tell you, if somebody is rebellious, opposing the truth, that is death. And it is very contagious, because once you talk to them a little bit, and then you get infected. Because, really? Oh, my goodness, Sam Huang is so terrible. Yeah, he really is terrible. Yeah, really, really. My, after you hear me telling you that, you will be infected. Next time you look at him. You're infected. That's death. And it spread like an epidemic. All of these things here, we all need to say, do not touch death. Yeah, don't touch death, because if you do, you will hurt yourself. Yep. There's so many things that we need to learn concerning Christ. He is the resurrection and the life. A wonderful life, a resurrected life. That's why he's the wave offering. Lord Jesus, there are so many different aspects of Christ, but the main aspect is categorized in all of these offerings. The burned offering to live a life that is for the fulfillment of God's will. Check yourself in your daily life. Do you have such an outlook every day, Father? I want to live for the fulfillment of your will. What is your will? What do you want me to do? Yeah. Show me your will. Have you ever prayed, Father, if you don't show me your will, how can I do your will? I want to do your will, but you have to show me what it is. What should we do? If you never ask the Father what his will is, how are you going to do his will? Okay. Right. Then the next thing you have to ask is, how come I cannot hear you? How is it I don't hear you? I want to learn to hear you. Speak to me. Speak to me. Every day when you wake up, you have to tell the Father, you tell me what you want. Show me. You are a speaking God. If I don't hear you, who has the problem? He or me? Huh? I. What's the problem? I have no ears. Right. So we need to learn. We need to gain Christ, live Christ in such a way to prepare all these offerings. Many people say, I offer sacrifice to the Father every day. I don't believe it. Because you don't even want to hear the word offering. And then you're telling me we offer every day. I don't know what you're talking about. And if you're offering every day, then why do you oppose me offering on the Lord's Day? The Lord's Day is not a day, right? The most important day, and you don't like to offer it. You're opposing me offering the Father on the Lord's Day. Nonsense. Nonsense. So here, living Christ, pursuing Christ, knowing Christ, gaining him and magnifying him, what for? You have to really see here. First of all, it is to bring the spiritual offerings, the sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Meaning to say, Jesus Christ is the reality of all of these sacrifices. Yeah. Very specific. And the Father wants you to bring it to him. And you have to choose the best. And it says even the best of the first fruits. That means you need to have many choices. And you need to keep the best for him. Right. Not doctrines, but the reality. The substance, the reality. My, to live a life praying for the Father's will to be done on this earth. We have to pray every day. Father, we pray that your will be done. Show me how do you want to do it. What is your will? The kingdom to come on this earth, yes. What about the building of the New Jerusalem? How do you want to build it? You have to ask. We want to know if you are a person who desires to do the Father's will, then you have to ask him, and he has to show you. Right. Amen. To live, pursue, to know, to gain this Christ as the reality of all the offerings, especially the humanity. Especially the humanity. Because our humanity is so corrupted, fallen. Especially our mind and even our desires. And then it became flesh. Man became flesh. And the self. So fallen. You may not realize how deep our fall is. It's really deep. Right? So we need to know the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, right, day by day in our daily living, learn. We are not perfect yet, definitely. Far from being perfect. Even the way we speak, even the way we think, the way we react. In so many different ways here. We are habitual being. Hard to change. Very hard to change. Don't think it is easy to change. It's very easy to change into bad. To learn bad things, it's very natural. But to really change into his image from glory to glory, you think it's easy. It is not easy. And this is why, and all of us could testify, having to bring an offering to the Father every time we come to the feast on the Lord's Day requires real laboring, preparation. You have to consider, Father, what can I bring to you? You think, oh, yeah, it's so easy. If you don't do it, you think it is easy. Let me tell you, you want to do it, then your mind is blank. Yeah, then your mind is blank because you're not prepared. But if you say, Father, I want to prepare a meal offering for you, okay? Then Monday through Friday and school and in interaction, doing your homework, doing your work and doing so many things, you will be conscious of, Lord, I want to experience your humanity now. While you're lazy, you say, no, Lord, you are my diligence. Like many of the saints in their offerings as well, they really learned. They want to react, say something to their boss or anything, or complain. They say, no, Lord, I want to gain your humanity. Hey, because you have that desire to bring and prepare. And if you do that, the more you do that, the richer your experience will be. And the Lord and the Father will prepare circumstances, because he knows this is your desire. So the Father will prepare a circumstance for you to really experience Christ in a deeper way. Amen. Even sufferings. Praise the Lord. Oh, maybe you don't like to tell the Father, Father, would you please prepare a certain circumstance for me to experience the suffering of Christ? You see, he's laughing. He's laughing because nobody wants that. But the Father will prepare. This is what the Lord Jesus, or Paul said in Romans chapter 8. All things work for the good of those who love God, called according to purpose. Including all the sufferings, including all the challenges, difficult situations, so many things. Amen, Lord. So many of these offerings, believe me, brothers, the Word of God is very important and very meaningful. All these offerings, the peace offering. Don't tell me it's so easy to have peace. It is easy to have conflict. Our natural man doesn't love peace. Right? Look at the situation of all the Christians. So much problems. No peace. But firstly, it is our peace with the Father. Christ is our peace, especially with the Father. Because if you cannot have peace with Him, to do what He wants, to listen to Him and not to offend Him, not to do things that is offensive to Him, then of course you will offend anybody here. Right? In the family life, husband and wife, your children and parents and children, right? No peace. Sometimes there's a shouting match. Depends whether the parents shout louder than the children. Right? And then to see whose face is uglier. No peace. No peace. And then if you make a nice face, but inwardly you're criticizing, well, no peace. For peace, you need strength. You need inward strength to obey the Father. To be fully reconciled to God. You need the power of resurrection to overcome death. And then you need to experience the ascension of Christ to be above the situation. Not under a situation. If you're under a situation, you react angry. Why did you do that? So it depends on where you are. Are you enjoying Christ as the heave offering? Are you sitting with Him in the heavenlies, where all things are under your feet? Or are you under everything's feet? It depends. Whether you're above it or you're under it. Praise the Lord. There's a lot to learn in the peace offering. Not just thanksgiving, but then the very fact that in a peace offering, the one who offers it get a wave. Breast. And the rest of the priest get the heave, shoulder. The strength, you're above it. You're above the situation. You're sitting with Him in the heavenlies. We're not waiting to go up there. You should be up there today, spiritually, in the Spirit, sitting with Him in the heavenlies. This is the Christ that we need to prepare and experience in our peace offering. Peace offering is not just to have peace, I feel good. 平安,平安. 中国人,我们说平安记,平安记. 没有和平哪里会平安? 你自己平安,那你丈夫不平安. 你自己平安了,别人不平安. No, peace is really a full, wonderful reconciliation. To be reconciled to God. And in order to be reconciled to God, you have to learn to deny yourself, to afflict your souls. And to afflict your souls, you need a power of resurrection. And you need the strength of ascension. Of course, as well as the sin offering, I have been crucified with Christ. But Paul says, how do you experience that? Now the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of and in the Son of God. That means that I have been crucified with Christ, although it is a historical fact. But in my daily experience, I have to exercise my faith, to experience the substance and the reality. So much practice needed. And people talk about being in the Spirit, being the Spirit. What do you do in the Spirit? This is what you do in the Spirit. To gain Christ, experience Christ as all these wonderful offerings. Right. That's why in the Scriptures Christ is revealed to us as all these offerings. Right. Amen. And we bring him to the Father as this wonderful sacrifice is for the true worship. This is the true worship. Tell me of another way of worship. Brother, I'm open. Tell me of another way of worship that the Father wants from us as his people. Don't tell me kneeling down, bowing down. Okay, that is also the worship. But that's not the worship God really wants from us. Right. Then, if you do this, our experience is you will begin to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel to the Gentiles. This is also our priestly service. Not just telling people you need to believe in Jesus. Then you will have a lot of experience that you can share with them. You can impart to them. Now that's sharing, not offering, okay? Then you can testify to them. You can share with them. You can testify to them the unsearchable riches of Christ as gospel. Otherwise, the only gospel you can preach is he died for you. What about sharing to them the riches? How rich he is in your experience. Right? So many times when it comes to talking about Christ, we are tongue-tied. We don't know what to say. We lost the words to say. All of a sudden, your mind is blank. It's because we're not really exercised. But if we are those who offer up spiritual sacrifices in every Lord's Day at a feast, that is a training in itself. That's why I still encourage you all to write it down. I know you have a good memory, but in the spiritual things, sorry, your memory is not adequate. You have to write it down. So when you write it down, you have the courage, you have the strength, even if you're a little nervous, you will not forget what you're going to say because it's written there. And then you will not say a lot of things you don't want to say. And you will not forget the things you want to say. There is this wonderful advantage. And you will have the best presentation of that offering to the Father. You are prepared. The preparation is important. Right? So when you want to have lunch, nobody needs to prepare lunch, Emmanuel. You just come to the table, then you have your lunch there. Somebody must be preparing, right? Usually your mom, right? Hard work. Yeah, hard work. You want to prepare an offering to the Father. Really prepare. Learn to prepare. Right. And such an attitude, such a desire, and such a practice to prepare an offering to the Father, you will see after a few months, you will really grow. Your experience of the offerings will increase, will become richer. And it's a good training for you to speak spiritual things. Praise the Lord. You will begin to use your mouth and your lips to share Christ. And not just about, he died for you 2,000 years ago, but you will be like Paul to share the unsearchable riches of Christ to the Gentiles as gospel. You will have an answer to every question they have. And your mind will become sharpened. There'll be wisdom. And your experience will grow. And your lips will just, like you said, with grace, seasoned with salt. Not too sweet, and not too sour, and not too salty. Praise the Lord. Train yourself. Learn. We can always make it better, right? Right. Make it better. Praise the Lord. This is to prepare for the Lord's coming in the coming age. Then, last point, give me 5 more minutes. Actually, I need more time. Exercise to keep the feast daily. These two things, the offerings and the feasts, keeping of the feast, they go together. If the Lord opens your eyes, you will see all these feasts is included in the whole New Testament there. The whole New Testament, the feasts of the Lord. If we all learn to do that, our Lord's table will become so rich. Our remembrance of the Lord will not be, Lord, you died for me. Lord, you suffered for me. You went through so much hardship. Thank you, Lord. You really suffer so much, Lord. Lord, we remember your sufferings, but you don't suffer. But you know, the Lord who told you that was 2,000 years ago, okay? I'm sitting on the throne today. Full of glory. I am a lamb today with 7 horns and 7 eyes. And my strength is like the lion of the tribe of Judah. Right. We praise the Lord for his sufferings, but his sufferings perfected him to the throne. And Paul is not weeping that the Lord suffers for so much. Paul says, I want to have the fellowship of his suffering, and he rejoices in his suffering. You weep in his sufferings, but Paul rejoices that he can partake of such glorious suffering. You know, there is a suffering that is glorious. The feast of the Lord, Passover, wonderful. The Feast of the Unleavened Bread, wonderful. His fine, perfect humanity. And on our part, getting rid. On one hand, we eat of the unleavened bread. On the other hand, Lord, I want to get rid of all the leaven that is in me. So many different leavens. Religion, world, hypocrisy, malice, wickedness, sinfulness. My goodness. So many kinds of leaven. The self, the flesh. Don't you want to get rid of them? Amen. What about it? Yeah? Or are you already leaven free? I'm trying to eat gluten free, egg free, milk free. Taste free. Leaven free. How about that? Lord, I want to be leaven free. Amen. Before you come, Lord, get rid of every bit of leaven that is in my heart. Satan is using that woman to hide leaven into your heart. Right? We need to dig them out. Amen. Get rid of it. Amen. Keep the feast by eating Christ as this unleavened bread. Perfect humanity. Well, we talk about eating Christ, but nobody talks about getting rid of the leaven. Yeah. We need to do both. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Right? I keep on taking antihistamine, but at the same time I eat gluten, I eat eggs, and then I eat antihistamine, and I take the pills, and then I eat all the things that I'm allergic to, and I take the pills, and you think it works? It doesn't work like that. You eat Christ as the unleavened bread, and you get rid of the leaven. Don't eat the unleavened bread and then increase the leaven in you. And let the leaven work in you. And the more the leaven works, leaven spread very quickly. Quicker than you eating the unleavened bread. Unfortunately, the unleavened bread doesn't spread by itself. But the leaven spread by itself. So, all of these wonderful feasts is so important. Right. We need to learn to keep the feast of the first fruits. Everything that has something to do with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have to dig them out. All the riches, swallowing up the death, challenge death. Where is your sting, death? Oh, you like to challenge it. You have the right to challenge it because our Lord is resurrected. Paul challenged. Death, where is your sting? But today we say, Lord, I'm so weak. I'm being stung by the death every day. You're stung by death every day. Oh, Lord Jesus. Right? We have no concept of resurrection, really. So we need to really get into it, learn how to enjoy the feast every day to see where can I enjoy the feast of the Lord. Because these two, the feast and the offerings, are a complement to each other. It's complementary to each other. On one hand, we are enjoying the feast. And that enjoyment of the feast will also help us to prepare for the offerings for the Father. So the feasts are for us to enjoy, but the offerings are for us to offer up to the Father to enjoy. Amen. What a wonderful coming and going. Every week we are enjoying the feast, and every week the Father has the offering to enjoy. Isn't that good? All the feasts, Feast of the Pentecost. At least in the Feast of the Pentecost, You know, everybody knows what happened on the day of Pentecost. Are you filled daily with the Holy Spirit? What happened when the Spirit was poured out? Okay, he poured it out. Are you taking it in? Do you enjoy that verse in Ephesians 5:19? Be filled in the Spirit. Are you filled? Do you seek to be filled? And as we said, if you really want to be filled, you need to practice the priesthood. Because the anointing oil is poured upon the priesthood. So, anyway, there are so many aspects concerning his going up and his taking the book. His qualification, the only one qualified to take the scroll, sitting on the throne to rule over the situation today. Hey, this has nothing to do with you. Who is in control today in the world situation? When you see somebody doing, you know, that president to go, not to come, but to go, the outgoing, doing such crazy thing. Oh, you get mad, right? I get so mad. I forgot that somebody else is sitting on the throne that's much higher who can take over the job and that doesn't bother him. I'm so mad, but the Lord is laughing there. It's written, he who sits on the throne in the heavens, what? Laughs at them. Now, if I really see that, I won't be getting mad. I will be laughing. This foolish man, what was he doing? But if I don't see him in the throne, I would be so mad. My face got red. I'll be so angry. It's because I'm not enjoying the one who is sitting on the throne. I forgot. And then, all of a sudden, what am I doing? Oh, he's laughing. You change your attitude, then you start to laugh. Yeah. All of this must be our experience in today's world situation. He is the ruler over the kings of the earth. Amen. We forgot that. We said he is sitting on the throne, but we think he has nothing to do. Just sitting there, enjoying the beauty of the throne. Oh my goodness, appreciating the wonderful, beautiful throne. Oh my, wow. Every day, is just like you are enjoying your Porsche. What a wonderful God, our Christ sitting on the throne, ruling, hating lawlessness. He loves righteousness, the scepter of uprightness. We don't care. We don't care. And we add to his trouble. We are adding to his tribulation. So many things that we can enjoy this feast. It must be a feast to us. And then Christ today ascended is this glorious great high priest according to the order of what? There are still so many things we don't know about him. How powerful. Without father, without mother, without a beginning of days and end of life. Like under the Son of God. And he is serving us with the power of an endless life. It's not in our head. It's not in our vocabulary. It is not in our program. to enjoy this wonderful feast as the captain, as the anchor of our soul. No wonder your soul is floating around. No anchor. He's the anchor of our soul. And today in the heavenlies, he also is the propitiation cover, the throne of grace. All of this has to do with his ascension today. Yeah. Too many aspects, author and finisher. Perfected, so qualified, pure, holy, undefiled, separated from sinners, saving us to the uttermost, interceding always for us. Oh, he's very busy. So many aspects of this wonderful feast for us to enjoy, and then we enjoy it by the Spirit that he poured out. If we really want to enjoy that Spirit and say, wow, he dwells in me, then he dwells in me as what? As the reality of all that this wonderful Christ is that is ascended on high. We are limited in our understanding, limited in our experience. We talk about Spirit, 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 but then nothing happens. Poor spirit. God must have given us a poor spirit. Look at the book of Acts. So powerful. Look at us. So powerless. Powerful, powerless. Are we powerful? Are we powerless? So, we need to really see all of these wonderful feasts for us to enjoy, at least the first four feasts. What about the last three feasts? The tabernacle of God is with man. Have you ever thought about the feast of the tabernacle? Why is it called the feast of the tabernacle? You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ incarnated in the Gospel of John chapter 1, and the Word became flesh and tabernacle with us. So it is not just the feast of the tabernacles, dwelling in booth. Yes, that's one aspect. But then, well, we have to experience today the Lord tabernacle amongst us. The New Jerusalem is, hey, I saw New Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. Right. Behold, the tabernacle of God with man. And that's Emmanuel. God with us. Right. So if the feast of the tabernacle, hey, we have to be enjoying that. Right. Otherwise, we're just dwelling in booths by ourselves. If we are still dwelling in this world and rooted in this world, there is no tabernacle. Then you are dwelling by yourself. Then you are dwelling by yourself. Enjoy your house. But today, for us, it is the feast of the tabernacle. Right. And all of these wonderful aspects must become our feast. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do this and we will be prepared for the coming age. Amen. I'm sorry, I'm over time tonight. Right. But be ready. The priesthood is the way to prepare us to be the king. This is why it's called the royal priesthood. Then if you practice this priesthood, then Everything that you have learned in the past will become real, substantial, will be a reality, and not just doctrines, teaching, knowledge. If it's just knowledge to you, pretty soon you will fall into the line of Laodicea. For sure. You will think you know so much. No, you don't need to tell us anything. We know everything. We are rich. We don't need you. Forget it. We don't need even the Lord Jesus. We already know so much. Yeah, we know everything. You fall into the line of Laodicea. Right. So, amen. May the Lord bring us into the reality. Amen. Amen.